Don't, Blankensop, it's too painful. The most tragic thing in the world is a sick doctor.
Yes, by George, it's like a bald-headed man trying to sell a hair restorer. Thank God I'm a surgeon.
I am never sick. Never had a day's illness in my life. That's what enables me to sympathize with my patients.
What? You're never ill?
Never.
That's interesting. I believe you have no nuciform sac. If you ever feel at all queer, I should very much like to have a look.
Thank you, my dear fellow. I'm too busy just now.
I was just telling them when you came in, Blankensop, that I have worked myself out of sorts.
Well, it seems presumptuous of me to offer a prescription to a great man like you, but still, I have great experience, and if I might recommend a pound of ripe plums every day, half an hour before lunch, I'm sure you'd find a benefit. They're very cheap.
What do you say to that, Bonington?
Very sensible, Blankensop. Very sensible indeed. I'm delighted to see that you disapprove of drugs. Did I hear from the fireside armchair the bow wow of the old school defending its drugs? Oh, believe me, Patty, the world would be healthier if every chemist shop in England were demolished. Look at the papers, full of scandalous advertisements of patent medicines. A huge commercial system of quackery and poison. Well, whose fault is it? Ours, I say. Ours. We set the example. We spread the superstition. We taught the people to believe in bottles of doctor's stuff, and now they buy it at stores instead of consulting a medical man.
Quite true. I've not prescribed a drug for the last 15 years.
Drugs can only repress symptoms. They cannot eradicate disease. The true remedy for all diseases is nature's remedy. Nature and science are at one, Sir Patrick, believe me, though you were taught differently. Nature has provided in the white corpuscles, as you call them, in the phagocytes, as we call them, a natural means of devouring and destroying all disease germs. There is at bottom only one genuinely scientific treatment for all diseases, and that is to stimulate the phagocytes. Stimulate the phagocytes! Drugs are a delusion. Find the germ of the disease, prepare from it a suitable antitoxin, inject it 3 times a day, 1/4 hour before meals, and what is the result? The phagocytes are stimulated. They devour the disease, and the patient recovers. Unless, of course, he's too far gone. That, I take it, is the essence of Ridgeon's discovery.
As I sit here, I seem to hear my poor old father talking again.
Your father? But, Lord bless my soul, Paddy, your father must have been an older man than you.
Word for word, almost, he said what you say. No more drugs, nothing but inoculation.
Inoculation? Do you mean smallpox inoculation?
Yes. In the privacy of our family circle, sir, my father used to declare his belief that smallpox inoculation was good, not only for smallpox, but for all fevers.
What? Richard, did you hear that? Sir Patrick, I am more struck by what you have just told me than I can well express. Your father, sir, anticipated a discovery of my own. Listen, Walpole, Blankensop, attend one moment. You will all be intensely interested in this. I was put on the track by accident. I had a typhoid case and a tetanus case side by side in the hospital. A beadle and a city missionary. Think of what that meant for them, poor fellows. Can a beadle be dignified with typhoid? Can a missionary be eloquent with lockjaw? No! No! Well, I got some typhoid antitoxin for Ridgeon and a tube of Muldooney's anti-tetanus serum. But the missionary jerked all of my things off the table in one of his paroxysms, and in replacing them, I put Ridgeon's tube where Muldooney's ought to have been. The consequence was that I inoculated the typhoid case for tetanus and the tetanus case for typhoid.
The doctors look greatly concerned. Bonington, undamped, smiles triumphantly.
Well, they recovered. They recovered! Except for a touch of St. Vitus's dance, the missionary is as well as ever, and the beadle's 10 times the man he was.
I've known things like that to happen. They can't be explained.
Blankensop, there is nothing that cannot be explained by science. What did I do? Did I fold my hands helplessly and say that the case could not be explained? Ha ha, by no means. I sat down and used my brains. I thought the case out on scientific principles. I asked myself, Why didn't the missionary die of typhoid on top of tetanus, and the beetle of tetanus on top of typhoid? There's a problem for you, Ridgeon. Think, Sir Patrick. Reflect, Blenkinsop. Look at it without prejudice, Walpole. What is the real work of the antitoxin? Simply to stimulate the phagocytes. Very well. But so long as you stimulate the phagocytes, what does it matter which particular sort of serum you use for the purpose? Do you see? Do you grasp it? Ever since that, I've used all sorts of antitoxins absolutely indiscriminately, with perfectly satisfactory results. I inoculated the little prince with your stuff, Ridgeon, because I wanted to give you a lift. But 2 years ago, I tried the experiment of treating a scarlet fever case with a sample of hydrophobia serum from the Pasteur Institute, and it answered capitally. It stimulated the phagocytes, and the phagocytes did the rest. That is why Sir Patrick's father found that inoculation cured all fevers. It stimulated the phagocytes.
Bonington throws himself into his chair, exhausted with the triumph of his demonstration, and beams magnificently on them. Emmy looks in.
Mr. Walpole, your motor's come for you, and it's frightening Sir Patrick's horses. So come along quick.
Goodbye, Ridgeon.
Goodbye, and many thanks.
You see my point, Walpole.
He can't wait, Sir Ralph. Your carriage will have nowhere to park if you don't come.
I'm coming, Emmy. There's nothing in your point. Phagocytosis is pure rot. The cases are all blood poisoning, and the knife is the real remedy. Bye-bye, Sir Paddy. Happy to have met you, Mr. Blenkinsop. Now, Emmy.
Walpole goes out, followed by Emmy.
Walpole has no intellect. A mere surgeon. Wonderful operator, but after all, what is operating? Only manual labor. Brain. Brain remains master of the situation. The nuciform sac is utter nonsense. There's no such organ. It's a mere accidental kink in the membrane occurring in perhaps 2.5% of the population. Of course, I'm glad for Walpole's sake that the operation is fashionable, for he's a dear good fellow. And after all, as I always tell people, the operation will do them no harm. Indeed, I've known the nervous shake-up and the fortnight in bed to do people a lot of good after a hard London season. But still, it's a shocking fraud. Well, I must be toddling. Goodbye, Paddy. Goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, my dear Blenkinsop. Goodbye. Goodbye, Ridgeon. Don't fret about your health. You know what to do. If your liver is sluggish, a little mercury never does any harm. If you feel restless, try bromide. If that doesn't answer, a stimulant. You know, a little phosphorus and strychnine. If you can't sleep, Trionol. Trionol, Trionol.
But no drugs. Collie, remember that.
Certainly not quite right, Sir Patrick. As temporary expedients, of course, but as treatment, no, no. Keep away from the chemist's shop, my dear Ridgeon, whatever you do.
I will. And thank you for the knighthood. Goodbye.
Bonington stops at the door, with the beam in his eye twinkling a little.
By the way, who's your patient?
Who?
Downstairs. Charming woman. Tuberculous husband.
Is she there still?
Emmy enters.
Come now, Sir Ralph. Your wife's waiting in the carriage.
Oh, goodbye.
Bonington goes out almost precipitately.